remember that we weren't created the same, men and women. And it's good for children to have a father and a mother, and they do things differently. And that's good. That's good. One of the things we teach children is how to value and respect our spouse. The way you speak to and about your spouse teaches your children how to speak to and about their spouse. There was once a child visiting by someone, and they were playing house. So the girl was the mommy, and her friend was the abba. So after about a minute, the girl takes the baby, and she looks at the one who's supposed to be abba, and boy, what came out of her mouth. You knew what she was hearing at home. You're good for nothing. You don't know what you're doing. You know, and you could hear all these lines running, and you said, oh boy. Okay, so children learn from you. They're recording everything you're doing. You want their heads, teach them their heads. You could disagree with your husband. Sit in the bedroom, talk to him, not in front of the kids. In front of the kids, they should feel like they have one unit. A child, in their mind, Abba's always right, Ima's always right. And they don't know how to deal with that contradiction where Abba and Ima are saying different things. It's a contradiction that they don't know how to deal with. And that goes on till we're adults. People, when they're adults, when their parents get divorced, are floored. Emotionally, they don't know how to handle it. You know, logically, they can handle it. Emotionally, it destroys them. So people, it's very hard to deal with it. So when you're fighting with your spouse in front of the kids, you're hurting the kids. Someone once asked, I don't remember which Rosh Yeshiva, he asked him, is it okay to show affection to my wife in front of the kids? So he said, yeah. So he said, but it's not tzanua. So he said, it's more not tzanua to fight in front of them. Do you stop that? Think about it. If you can tell me that you never fight in front of the kids, then don't ever show affection in front of them. You could talk about leaving everything for other places. But if you allow them to see that, then you have to balance it out. They have to see it you made up. So there are going to be conflicting styles. You talk it out, and even if you're going to remain different, you should come to a certain meeting ground. Meeting ground means I'm going to agree to things even though I don't necessarily agree with them. And I expect him to agree to things even though he doesn't necessarily agree with me. And we'll come to a certain understanding. I'm jumping around because I understand, I don't know if I'm understanding correctly, that you group them by the person?
Just ask them. I'll be in a place then.
Okay, so I figured if I deal with different groups, so...
The family will send a few, some people send one, so...
Okay, so I hope I'm not dealing with only one person's question. I'm trying to jump around. Someone asked... someone asked... What's the order here? When do you share with children life-changing events? For example, moving or a new baby? So... Again, we're dealing with kids up to first grade. At that age, most children don't need more than 2 weeks to deal with what's going to happen. If you start telling them more than 2 weeks about the new baby, you're confusing them. They don't know what to do with that information. You have to make sure, and this is what becomes challenging, that you've given yourself time to talk to them. They'll digest, and then they'll come back to you, or it'll come up again. You don't want to belabor the point, but you do want to help them get accustomed to the point. Some things are irrelevant. When a three-year-old moves, it's relevant to them for about a day, maybe 2 days. So long as they have their Abba and Ima, they don't care that they're moving. They have the excitement of moving day, and that's it. And now they discover new friends. You're switching schools for your three-year-old, it doesn't matter. By the time the year passes and their summer vacation passes and they're going into a new school, they don't remember that they had other friends in the previous class. You don't have to make an issue of it. They don't know it exists. So sometimes parents make an issue of things that shouldn't be an issue. There's going to be a new baby. So how do we talk to the kid about a new baby? So you bring home books with baby pictures. You show them other people's babies. You don't yet tell them that you're going to have a baby. You first talk to them about how much fun a baby is. Fun a baby is. Fun a baby is, right? Parents very often prepare the kids for this calamity called we're going to have a baby. It's not true. So parents do the worst thing in the world. They tell a child, even though mommy's going to be busy, mommy still loves you. Don't say that. Tell the child it's going to be beautiful. You're going to have a younger sibling and he loves you. And when the child sees the big stomach, so you could start telling him things. You know, the baby is kicking because he says he loves you. You know, the baby's kicking because he says he wants to see you. You want to hear the baby here? I'm going to tell you what the baby's saying. Mommy, how do you know? Well, the baby tells me. And then you could start telling the child how much the baby likes them. When you tell them this, you're developing their affection for the baby. It works. It's important. It's a wonderful thing for a child that they're getting a sibling. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. You have to have that approach. Sometimes parents feel like, I'm being egotistical. I want another child. For them, it might not be the greatest thing in the world. It is the greatest thing in the world. It's a blessing for them. Bezrat Hashem, as parents, you will teach your children how to love one another, and it will be a blessing in their life. So when we speak to children about the baby that's coming, what we're going to discuss is we're going to say it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have a cute baby, and you can give gifts from the baby. My parents did this with some of us, and those that they did it with are best friends still today. It works. They didn't do it with the others. You could see the difference. And we also did it with some of the kids. It ends up creating a bond. And that means when the children come to visit the hospital, they should have gifts from the baby. You didn't have a chance to prepare. They're very decent priced, at least in Shari Tzedek. They have this wagon that goes around. Yael, they have a store downstairs on the second floor. Go and buy a few things. The kids come, they should have a gift from the baby, and it doesn't matter what it is. Again, don't up the ante. It could be those punch balloons that cost you 5 shekel. For the kid, they got a gift from the baby. The gift from the baby can be the sugar bag that they give you for your tea in the hospital. For kids, that's very exciting, a sugar bag. When do parents ever give a kid a sugar? Right? Do you ever give a kid a bag of sugar? You don't, right? I remember when my little brother was born, and the difference is 3.5 years. I remember the sugar bag I got in the hospital. It was a shocker to me. Emma's giving me sugar. See, it stays in my mind. But they need, and it can continue, which means the baby comes home, so the siblings can wake up every morning and find a jelly bean. The baby sent you a jelly bean. They find you can leave the jelly bean near the baby's crib, under the crib, and the child's mom, they don't understand. I remember when our eldest was like 9, and there was a new baby, and under the baby there were gifts, and they came to the hospital, and he figured it out. He said to the siblings, no, that's not from the baby. Okay, at 9 years old, he realized, okay. So we had an argument. I said, yes, it is. And he said, no, it isn't. And I said, where'd the baby bring it? And I said, where was the baby born from? You don't know that. So where he was born from? He brought the gifts. Don't worry. Okay. So baby is a blessing. And children here, depending on the age, you can prepare the child without them realizing you're going to have a baby. And remember that it's normal for the older sibling to be interested and try to lift the baby and try to poke their eyes. And we have to work with that without getting upset. This goes back to what we started with, the norms of children. This brings us to another point which is important to remember, and that is that children look to us to realize how they should react. A child falls in the park. You'll see this if you pay attention. Very often they look back to the mother. If the mother didn't see them, they won't cry. They'll come back to the mother, and when you noticed, I fell, then they start crying. They're waiting for your cue. And if your reaction is, oh, you fell, okay, good, continue playing, then they get up and they continue playing. Very often children take their cues from us as to how they should react to many things in life. So that includes shul, that includes mitzvos, that includes the sibling that's born. If we talk about Shabbos as being difficult, they'll view Shabbos as difficult. If we talk about Shabbos as being the blessing in our life, they'll look at Shabbos as the blessing in our life. Whether we notice it or not, we frame their perspective. Another question someone asked was, do young children need to hear Havdalah, or can they just be sleeping? We're dealing with children till first grade. They don't need to hear Havdalah. In the winter months when it's nice and early, so they could hear Havdalah. Our general rule for chinuch is when a child can do it themselves. When a child, that's why children put on tzitzit when they're toilet trained. when they could keep the garment clean, they could wear their own garment, they wear tzitzit. Chinuch begins when a child can do it. So if he's up or she's up at a time where it's normal for them to be up to do Avdallah, they can do Avdallah. If they're going to sleep before that, they're not yet at an age where we should be worried about Avdallah.